Welcome back to A Book A Day podcast, and I'm back with another book, another wonderful book, I must say. This one is called How to Love in Sanskrit. And as the title tells you, the book is all about all the literature on love and romance written in Sanskrit language. But the writers are not serving you all the poems and verses in Sanskrit, because naturally there are very few speakers of this language, and then it'll be hard to find readers. So it's all about translation. The poems and verses, they have been translated into English. And while some of you might find it lacking that authentic flavor, but we can't do much about that, can we? We need good translations of these ancient texts, and that's probably the best way to preserve this ancient literature. So let me give you a glimpse of what these poems are about. And even though they are very, very old, some of them thousands of years old, some hundreds of years old, but how universal and how timeless they are. You'll be amazed when you get to read or listen these poems. Let me narrate a few verses from the book. And the first one is called Inferiority Complex, and it's from 1200 CE. The verses, they go as, seeing the lovely red of your lips, darling, the cherries hang themselves from a tree in despair. As you can see the imagery, that's pretty much there in a lot of Sanskrit literature. A lot of references to the nature and how beautifully the poet talks about the beauty of the lover, beloved. And that's another constant theme that you find in these verses, that a lot of focus on woman's beauty that is being given. Now let me pick another one, and let's go back almost 2000 years. This one was written around 100 CE, and the translated title is called Prolonging the Moment. Here it goes. As the girl at the well pours out water, making it trickle thin and thinner still, the traveler bends, eyes upwards, sipping the water through cupped hands, spreading his fingers wide and wider still. So when you read this poem, you can see a picture in your head. And that's really what it is. It's just describing one moment in time. And how beautifully it does that. Let me read another verse. It's called Why I Am an Atheist. And you might think it's about theology or philosophy, but it's really about love, really about the beauty of the woman. Let me narrate it. Why I Am an Atheist. When the Creator made her, if he had his eyes open, would he have let her leave heaven? Surely not. If he had his eyes shut, could he have achieved such perfection? No chance. Therefore, it is proved that the Buddha was right. There is no creator. Now, isn't that wonderful? how beautifully it brings in the end, the Buddhist philosophy that there is no supreme God. And while doing so, it just talks about the perfection in the lover's and the woman's beauty. There's another similar poem from Kashmir around 1000 CE, and it's titled Logician's Quandary. Let me narrate it now. Clearly, it's impossible that the same undiscerning God who made all manner of things, good, bad, and ugly, could have created you. Shall we hypothesize a new God then? But how could someone so inexperienced handle such a task? Was it a happy accident, like worms tracing letters as they nibble through leaves? No way. And so all the logicians find themselves in a muddle about how you came to be. And as you can see, as you can hear, it's just beautiful. And that's really the beauty of ancient Indian literature. They're constantly talking about gods, then questioning gods, questioning beliefs, playing with it. It's just amazing. Now coming to one of my favorite poems, it's called Dimples. Really short one, but I think it's probably the most beautiful lines ever written praising the dimples of a woman. Really, really beautiful lines. So let me narrate. Dimples. After creating her, God must have gazed at his work admiringly, holding her face in his hands, thumb on each cheek. That's how she got her two perfect dimples. So, from the previous idea, when the poet was talking about there's no God, and otherwise, you know, you cannot have such beauty on earth if there was a God. Now, the poet is talking about God must have created this beautiful thing. And of course, it's not really the same poet, but you can see the transformation, the diversity of thought. And it's just romantic, but at the same time, thought-provoking. It's really good to read. Now, let me read another one, which is called Dangerous Driving. And it's also very well written, describing the physical beauty of the woman's body. Dangerous Driving. First, her high breasts, then the deep valley of her waist, then the steep incline of her hips. With all these curves and bends, is it a surprise that every onlooker goes off track? I mean, that's just another level of flirting, isn't it? And you have to give it to the poet. The poet has done a remarkable job here. Such eloquence in describing the beauty. And here comes another one. It is called Can't Take My Eyes Off You. Can't Take My Eyes Off You. On whatever bit of her the gaze first lands, there it stays pinned. No one knows her in all her loveliness. Now, the last one which I'm going to narrate here, and then probably you're going to have to pick the book and read other poems. And there are so many. It's just not even the tip of the iceberg, and I'm sure you're going to love it. This one is called Miss Universe. The long bindi painted on her forehead, pointing straight up to heaven, is the love god's arrow that he mounts on the arched bow of her brows. Earth has been won already. Heaven must be next. It's really, really romantic, as you can see, and I'm sure the lover in you is going to just admire it. So pick this book whenever you feel those romantic urges, the urge to articulate your inner lover. When you get that urge, this is going to be your perfect companion. So I'm going to leave you at that. I hope you had a good time listening to these poems, and I hope you'll keep reading and enjoying this ancient literature. Thank you very much for listening. I'll catch you the next time. Thank you.